Well, again, welcome to this series on the life and times of David and the imperfections of a man after God's own heart. We've celebrated, or we've discussed, why do I drift from God? Why do I run from my problems? And last week, why do I cave into peer pressure? This week, we're sort of a two-parter. Why do I bury my emotions? And the subtext of today's is, why do I let my emotions sabotage me? So that's our discussion today. And that question, why do I let my emotions sabotage me, that's a real complex question. The answer may be simple, and I think it's because I bury them. That's the answer. And maybe you wonder what I mean by that. Well, sometimes when I meet with someone, it's because their life has hit rock bottom. And when we try to untangle the web they're trapped in, we often find that we can boil it down to one emotion-driven sentence. I was jealous, so I retaliated. I felt hatred, so I fought back. I felt sad, so I drank. I felt happy, so I stopped thinking about the consequences. Even a pleasant emotion can lead to bad results. That list can go on and on and on. Emotions can often be at the root of our lives getting sabotaged. The answer to our question today is because many of us are just not aware of our own feelings. Having said that, I want to clear up front that emotions are not bad things. They are not bad things. In fact, they are a God-given part of us. God created us in His image. God has feelings. The Bible teaches us that God is loaded with emotion. Delight, gladness, disappointment, sorrow, sadness, frustration, anger, tenderness, mercy. Clearly, God is not stoic and unmovable. The Bible points to God as having a full range of emotions, and we are made in the same way. The problem comes when we don't handle them well, and they start to choke the life out of us and consume us. Emotion is always present in your life. You may not ever have taken the time to think about that, but it's as common as the air you breathe. We are complex creatures, and if we're honest with ourselves, it's our feelings that guide us far too often. So how should we handle them? In other words, how do we let them be a gift to us and not sabotage us? I think it starts with the realization that emotion is created to do what it's created to do in the first place. To understand what I mean, you need to change the spelling of the word emotion. Well, not the spelling necessarily, but the way that you put a dash in the middle of it spells it the same way, but it puts a different emphasis. That dash, emotion, tells us that emotion wants to have motion. Another way to say it is that it's a noun, but it actually lives as a verb. Take a good hard look at that word now. Etch it in your mind. When you realize that emotion is not made to just sit dormant inside you, but it is made to have motion in your life, then you can start moving toward a healthy emotional life. Some of you may be thoroughly confused by now. That's okay. I'm used to that. I did have a realization of watching a 4-year-old boy yesterday for a long time, how there's no difficulty with expressing emotions when you're 4. There's no burying of emotions when you're 4. Is that always good? No. It's because it effects happen. And I'll explain that in a second, how those kind of happenings can maybe be deleterious. That was a word I haven't used in 10 years, but I like it. Some psychologists tell us that there are 5 primary emotions, and those primary emotions are anger, fear, sadness, happiness, and compassion. They say that all the other emotions fit into one of these 5. Now think about the new spelling, emotion. When you're angry, do you think it wants to stay inside of you? No. Anger wants to have motion toward fight. Fear wants you to move toward flight. Sadness wants to grieve. Happiness wants to dance, cheer, party, and celebrate. While compassion always moves you to want to help. Remember that when you read about Jesus being compassionate. He always cared for people, but whenever it says that Jesus was compassionate, something happened. He always did a miracle or an interaction. Something always happened when Jesus showed compassion, and so must we. We can't just say, well, that's too bad for you. You know, I mean, it has to move you toward something. They all demand a response. All these words demand a response. They demand motion. The question is, how do you respond well or move your emotions in the right direction? Well, because let's admit it, we get in trouble when the emotion doesn't move us in a healthy direction. If you bury your anger, it will bury you. The truth is that if you don't deal with it and have emotion, let it have emotion, it'll turn into another E word, and the E word is eruption. It will come out in unhealthy ways. Again, said four-year-old. Okay? But don't just blame it on him. Let's look in the mirror too, right? It comes out in unhealthy ways. How do we channel our emotions in a healthy manner so that they don't sabotage us after we bury them? Well, there's two steps to it. And they're so short, I'm going to put them on one slide. You name it, and you share it. Try to name what you're feeling, if you can, and share it with God and or with other people. You may say, how can I name it when I don't know what I'm feeling? Well, maybe this will help. I know you can't see the words on this, but you may want to Google the... I don't know if we made a slide of this. No, we didn't. There's a thing called a feelings wheel or an emotional wheel. You can look it up. It's very complex, and it would look horrible on a screen. But essentially, it shows you the wide variety of emotions that you can feel and you can experience. And I trust you all enough to know that you don't even need to Google that. You can start reflecting on your life and figure out some of the feelings and emotions that you have. Now, some of you who are more introverted may be nervous thinking that you don't want to share this with anyone. However, it really is a vital step. You got to find somebody. Some of you have no problem sharing what you're feeling. Don't look at each other. Some of you are patting legs. Some of you, yeah, okay. I didn't see the humor in that sentence until I just read it. But your two steps are not name it and share it. They are name it and post it. You know, we don't want to do that. We need to name it and share it. And we don't, some people don't have a problem sharing their emotions on social media, and that's not what I'm talking about. Believe me, that's not what I'm talking about. With all of that said, let's see this lived out in our study today. Now, if we look at 1 Samuel 27, we're going to continue again to study the life of this man named David. To set the context, this is still before David became king, as you saw in the video. We had David killing the Goliath. People loved David. Even the king loved him. King Saul loved David. That was until God had said that David would eventually be the next king. And then what happened? The people loved him. Guess what emotion rose up in Saul? You got it. Jealousy. And that set his emotion in motion inside of him, to say the least. He was always on the move, and so was David, one step ahead of him. Saul didn't channel this in a healthy manner. We saw it last week. It actually eventually drives him to madness, this emotion that he bottled up. On two different occasions, he was so angry, he tried to kill David by throwing a spear at his head. That's an indicator that you're angry with somebody, just to let you know, in case you didn't know that. Then David realized he had to get out at town, and so he went on the run. Now, had Saul channeled this emotion in a healthy way, he would have healed. But instead, it sent him on a 20-year vendetta against this man named David. Pent-up emotion will do that to you. And that actually filled David with fear. That's what I love so much about the music team, including psalms in our readings, in our songs, and how we talk about them in the messages, because these are words of a man filled with fear and filled with anger and filled with frustration. So, however, in this case, instead of David naming it and sharing it in his fear, he went into hiding, and he was chased by Saul every blessed minute of every blessed day. This led David to make a foolish decision. David said in his heart, I'm going to eventually die by the hand of Saul. There's nothing better for me than to escape to the land of the Philistines. Then Saul will stop looking for me. What? Remember the Philistines, how they figure in the story? What is he doing? He didn't say it out loud. He felt it. He felt it. What was he feeling? Scared for his life. He did what a lot of us would do. He fled. And that, I think that was good. He avoided the inevitable. That's why emotions can be good. That motion causes us to take action. When our team went to Kenya 1 year, my wife is way more experienced in this and more savvy in many things, but I ventured out. There was a thing in smaller countries where they don't have internet in their homes, but they have internet cafes. It's amazing. So I wanted to find one because I had to post to Facebook all my cool pictures of Kenya. So it was in Isiolo. You don't need to know where that is. Just know that it's everyone in that town and the hotel and everywhere was so friendly that I got a little full of myself and went down a back alley early one morning on a shortcut after I went to the internet cafe and shortcut back to the hotel. Two men started following me. Well, I picked up the pace and sprinted when I knew I was quite possibly in real trouble. My point with that story was it was not the time to stop and name it and share it. Hey, guys, can I share with you what I'm feeling right now? I think they knew. I didn't need to share it. Boy, I got the leader of the group really got mad at me for doing that. So I'm so westernized. I just didn't realize. So had I done that, I might not be here today staying in front of you, frankly. That was how much fear filled my heart. David did the right thing. He got to safety, but instead of just finding a place as a temporary shelter, he did the worst thing he could do. Let me repeat that. He did the worst thing he could do. The decision he made is the one thing that leads most people to destruction in a time of overwhelming emotion. He ran to the enemy for protection. He joined the Philistine army. The very army, remember when he was little and he killed a giant, a Philistine, and he was heralded by his nation as a hero? The greatest warrior of all time he killed with a slingshot? For the next 16 months now, present day David, he's in Philistine for 16 months. A year and a quarter. Is that a quarter? Anyway, he actually became one of King Achish's best warriors as David went into battle against Israel. Gee, this is not good. Look what David, the king, said about David. Achish trusted David, thinking he has made himself utterly abhorrent to his people Israel. Therefore, he will always be my servant. I will make him my bodyguard for life. For a year and 4 months, David ran from his emotions of fear. He hid in the very place he shouldn't have been. And we do the very same thing. Instead of naming our emotion and saying it to someone safe, like a trusted friend or a family member or a counselor, we run to our unhealthy Philistine distractions. We run to places of distraction so we don't have to feel those feelings. Maybe it's sex, maybe it's alcohol, maybe it's shopping, maybe it's workaholism. I can't tell you the number of times it grieves me. I can't tell you the number of times I've talked to families that have fallen apart because one or both of the spouses ran to their work rather than deal with the hard emotional situation at home. It hurts me. It's such an avoidable thing. Some people run to revenge. It's a whole lot easier to retaliate than to deal with the feelings of hurt. You know you see it. And you know, sometimes you feel it. Some people, unfortunately, just choose to harden their heart so that they don't have to. So I think it's to avoid any emotion that might affect them or stir up some emotion in them to create action. It's just if I just don't feel. I had one friend tell me that he chose to conceal and not feel. Halfway jokingly, but I'm afraid that a lot of people have that mantra. Ever hear the phrase comfort food? Comfort from what? It's from the emotions. There's a whole diet plan called Noom that's based on that. My daughter and daughter-in-law are both doing that, and it's really just their relationship with food. They're realizing they're looking at that as something that's going to soothe them. I do have to say, full disclosure, Hot Fudge Sunday is always easier than facing the emotions from that day. I get it. That's always the answer, I think. What is it for you? Have you made alliances with something that you shouldn't just because you don't want to deal with your emotions? I think a lot of us, and unfortunately a lot of men, think that emotion isn't good, that it makes you weak. It's crazy. Because we all have emotion. Remember, let's go back to the beginning. We're created in God's image. He is an emotionally filled God, an emotionally healthy God, a spiritually healthy God. He made us in that image. But some of us have buried it so deep in our effort to stay in alliance with the Philistines of our lives. Emotions happen. And when they do, we need to name them, and we need to talk about them. Again, when you're sad, talk to your spouse or a friend. And sometimes it's good to break out of the family to do that, because sometimes your family takes on that burden. And I'm so blessed to have a men's group that I can be totally honest with and sad with and angry with and share my feelings that are appropriate and inappropriate. My emotions are bare to them. You know what happens then? Is that then they feel the same way. And I don't look at it as a burden. I look at it as my job. It's a good job to have, to support your friends. So find that. And I'm not good at this, and I say that every time I suggest this, because for some people it works gloriously, and it's a journal. Do a journal. My dad was a great, it's just not my strength, I guess. And I don't want to make an excuse, but I'm saying there's some of you in this room right now need to go home and then every morning just write for 5 minutes of what you're feeling, what you felt yesterday, what you feel today, who you haven't talked to in a while, and just close the book and do it the next day. Because that journaling about it, you can then bring it to your counselor or to your life group and say, here's what I've been going through. I need you to be my friend. I need you to pray for me and with me. I think first things we do when we are faced with emotion is ask yourself, why am I feeling this? Why am I having a sadness or a happiness? What's the cause of this? Do I want to run from it? David didn't do that when he felt fear, and he ended up with his enemy. Do you know what happened next? Well, as David hung out there where he shouldn't have been, he won many battles, and it says he killed many women and men. The beloved David was a savage warrior, turning his sword towards his people. Well, while he was out on the battles, David and his men won with ease because they were great warriors. But when they returned home to Ziklag, the place King Achish gave them, they quickly discovered that their city had been raided. Everything was burned down, and their wives and children were taken captive. Imagine the emotion. Anger, fear, horror, anguish, violation. Pause for a moment. This is a great opportunity for review. Here we go. David has to feel intense emotion. What does his emotion want to do? It wants to have motion. What's the healthiest way to channel that emotion? Name it, share it. Last time he didn't name it and share it, what did he do? He just felt it, and he ran to his enemy. And look what got him. But look at what it says David did this time. Ready for finally get a happy ending to a story? Here we go. David and his men raised their voices and wept until they had no more strength to weep. They ran out of tears. They raised their voices and named it and clearly stated it and shared it. You may say, well, that's normal grief. Well, of course it is. But they are warriors whose first instinct is to conceal it and not feel it. And long after their enemy had done this evil to them and gotten revenge on them, they probably said something like Liam Neeson and Taken, I will look for you, I'll find you, and I will kill you. But they didn't. They used their energy on healthy grief. Then watch what David did. He did exactly what he should have done when he first fled from Saul 16 months earlier. And this time, he's in great danger again because the men following him are filled with emotion. This is like trying to hold back a tsunami of angry warriors. But it says this, David was in great danger, for the people spoke of stoning him because all the people were bitter in spirit for their sons and daughters. Yikes. Here's David in danger of death again, by different hands this time. But instead of running away in his fear, look what he does. And here's the happy ending, I was promised you. But David strengthened himself in the Lord. Feelings happen all the time. The question is, how are you going to channel them? Christianity wasn't designed to be a head trip. It's designed to be a relationship where we can strengthen ourselves in the Lord in our lowest moments. We're made in the image of God, who shows us the incredible range of his emotions, and he wants us to bring them to him. And that's actually what David did most of his life. You know, David wrote over half the Psalms, and most scholars have been able to place which psalm was written when in his life based on the details that he gave us. You know, he didn't write one recorded psalm during these 16 months. Not one psalm was written when he was with the enemies. That's telling, isn't it? When he was avoiding his emotions and just living as a warrior, he didn't channel his emotions in a healthy way. He just took his rage out on the battlefield for a year and 4 months. But years later, when David realized how to live with a life of emotion, when he was king, look at the words he wrote. Trust in the Lord at all times. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. Wow. Pour out your emotions to God. You know what you'll find then? God is so safe. He knows every thought before you think them. So he's not going to be surprised by your feelings. You're not going to shock him. Jesus said the same thing as well. There are two words for life in the New Testament. Zoe is one, which means eternal life. And psuche, which involves your emotions and your heart and your soul. It's where we get the word psychology from. Psuche. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. He said you will find rest for your emotions in your heart. Now, I know this is a tough topic for some of us. Some of you grew up in a family system that didn't accept any emotions. And I'm sorry about that. You were told, stop crying or I'll give you something to cry about. I was told that a couple times, but we had no problem sharing emotions. But that is tragic. Because what does it tell a kid if you repeat that over and over again? It tells a kid that sadness equals badness. I know there's a lot of emotional repression in our lives. Let me tell you what will happen if you don't deal with them. When these emotions start their motion, they're going to organize an emotional insurrection. and you won't be able to find refuge in your Philistines any longer. It may start small with less laughter in your countenance, or maybe some resentment building within you that leads you to a shorter fuse. It can shift to headaches and to stomach aches and insomnia and chemical abuse. Remember what we said about eruption? Eruption doesn't have to be yelling. Or you may try to deaden them by then you're going to lose the passion in life and start walking around like an emotional zombie. By the way, this is why some people get into self-harm. As tragic as that is because they, by cutting and inflicting pain on themselves, the pain actually physiologically makes them feel better in a strange way. Buried emotion can't stay buried. If this describes some of you what has been sabotaging you, with all that personal persuasion that I have, I pray that you start naming it right now and sharing them with people you trust. It may take some counseling. It may take some training, coaching. I know several people who have a spiritual life coach. It's a healthy thing. Your homework for this week is clear. I'm challenging you to start practicing this concept of name it and share it. I can't help but to compare the lives of David and Saul, the two men filled with emotion, right? We're given a clear image of two different ways to handle emotion. David was full of fear. He ultimately cried out to God and was healed. You know what happened to Saul? He stayed jealous for the rest of his life. While David got in his emotional life by naming it and saying it to the Lord, Saul ended up with a lifetime of being sabotaged by his emotions. I don't want any of that for us. I pray that you can hear Jesus whisper to you, "Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. For I am gentle with you and you will find rest." Healthy channeling for your emotions. And please don't miss this next week. This is going to be week number two of Bury Your Emotions. And the concentration on next week's message is going to be about the process of lamenting. It's a powerful word. It's a word that used to be used in the Jewish nation, but also in the early church, that process of lamenting, crying out to God. I think you're going to find it enlightening. Let's pray. Father, we all are so blessed to have the emotions in our bodies, and just help us deal with them as you showed us through your Son, Jesus. And when we name those emotions, don't try to hide them or mask them or bury them, but we name them out loud, and then we share it with trusted people that walk this earth. But more importantly is to share them with you. Help us take time each day to go over the list of things that we are feeling with you. Examine the root and examine the way that it will lead us into motion that is healthy and life-giving. You are the light of our world. Thank you for the warmth and the clarity that your light gives us. In Jesus' name, amen.